And we want to express our appreciation to those who have led us in our worship service thus far. Thankful to Brother Daniel for doing a very fine job, as he always does, in directing our singing. Grateful to you who have meaningfully and harmoniously blended your voices together with him. We are grateful for the prayer that was led by Brother Waller, and we are grateful for the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Prowl. Good to be here this morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. We invite your attention to the passage of scripture that was read from Psalm 119. Verses 65 through 72. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72. I want to zero in, especially on verse number 71. Verse number 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The psalmist affirms that it was good for him that he had been afflicted. He indicates that there are benefits of affliction. There are blessings to be derived from experiencing afflictions. In the 80s, Carly Simon used to sing a song, "I Haven't Got Time for the Pain." Some of you might remember that. Haven't got time for the pain. All those crazy nights when I cried myself to sleep. Now melodrama never makes me weep anymore, 'cause I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't the need for the pain. Not since I've known you. You showed me how to leave myself behind, how to turn down the noise in my mind. Now I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't the need for the pain, not since I've known you. Suffering was the only thing that made me feel I was alive, though that's just how much it costs to survive in this world. Till you showed me how to fill my heart with love, how to open up and drink in all that white light pouring down from the heaven. I haven't got time for the pain. I haven't got room for the pain. I haven't the need for the pain since I've known you. Now, I know you're probably thinking, what does he mean, I haven't got time for the pain? What I want to affirm in our lesson this morning is the very opposite of that concept. And I think I understand what Carly was trying to say, but I came to affirm in our lesson today that I do have time for the pain. That might seem unusual, or that might seem self-contradictory when we think about the nature of pain and human nature. Why would one affirm that he has time for the pain? As we think about pain, and as we experience pain, it's not a very pleasant thing. It's discomforting. And we experience all kinds of pain. How many of you have ever experienced pain? Anybody? I dare say each and every one of us has experienced pain of some kind in your life. I can't think of anybody, even babies, toddlers, children, teens, young adults. I can't think of anybody who has never experienced pain. You've had a headache, you've experienced pain. If you've had a toothache, you've experienced pain. If you've taken your flu shot, you experienced a little pain in the process. Some of you've had backaches. You've experienced the pain associated with that. Some of you had heartaches, emotional, mental pain. That was also an old song that went something like this. If you have a headache, an aspirin will do. If you have a backache, Doane's pills will see you through. But if you have a heartache, there ain't nothing you can do. Of course, I dispute that as well. But why is it that I have time for the pain? When we understand the place and purpose of pain, then we'll be able to understand why each of us should have time for the pain. And of course, the idea of not having time for the pain in a commercial, a Metaprin commercial, they use this idea expressed in Carly Simon's song, I Haven't Time for the Pain. And what they're saying is that life is so busy, life is so full of obligations, life is so full of activity, life is so full of things we need to get done, our schedules are crowded, our to-do lists are very laden with tasks that we want to accomplish. Our agendas are filled. So we don't have time for the pain. So we need to use something to dull the pain, something to kill the pain, something to medicate the pain. I'm too busy to be dealing with pain. So I haven't got time for the pain. The psalmist here recognizes the value of pain. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And we move down to verse 75. He says, I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. As we think about the place of pain and the presence of pain in my life or in your life, it's universal. Everybody experiences pain at one time or another. You could not get into this world without some pain being experienced. All of the mothers in the audience can identify with that notion of that idea. You experience pain when you give birth to a child. And children should appreciate that fact that their mothers experienced pain. That was one of the consequences of the entrance of sin into the world. The mother was sentenced to experience childbirth with great pain. And even with all of our modern technological innovations and anesthetics and painkillers, there's still pain associated with childbirth. Pain goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. There was no pain prior to experienced by the human race. Sin's entrance into the world ultimately resulted in pain and suffering and sickness and death. That's according to the decree of God. Everybody has to experience some pain, and into every life some rain must fall. So there is the ubiquitous presence of pain in life. Everywhere you look, you see the presence of pain. Now, we don't like pain. Pain is not something that we enjoy. And we do everything we can to minimize pain, to deaden pain, to medicate pain. We will take all kinds of what you call analgesic medications. Analgesics are pain killers. Demerol is an analgesic. Percocet is an analgesic. Lortabs are analgesics. Tylenol, Metaprin, Advil, Motrin. All of these are medications that are designed to minimize or reduce or eliminate or deaden the pains that are associated with life. And our pains seem to increase as we get older. And people, because of that notion, I don't have time for the pain, they try everything they can to take whatever they can to get rid of the pain. Now, as we think about pain, we need to recognize that there are blessings associated with pain. And I'm going to give you some examples from the scripture in just a moment. But when it comes to our lives, God has designed pain to be a warning signal for us. If you have a serious abdominal pain that just causes you to double up, that indicates that there is something wrong. Yeah, something is not right when you have pain. If you suffer from persistent headaches, that means that there's something that is wrong. If you feel pain radiating down your left arm, that means that there's something wrong. If your tooth is throbbing and you are experiencing intense pain, you have a bad toothache, that means that something is wrong. If you are unable to move about from place to place because your back is killing you, that means that there's something wrong. Pain is a signal that something is wrong within us. It's like when the red light comes on on your dashboard in your car, the check engine light comes on. That's an indication that there's something wrong. And sometimes it's something very seriously wrong, and other times it's something that is not that serious. Usually if that red light comes on, you'd better pull over and stop immediately. Now, some folks go for years with the yellow check engine light on, but that is there for a purpose. Like pain registers in our minds for a purpose. And when you take an analgesic or a painkiller, that's just what it does. It doesn't correct the source of the problem. It doesn't deal with the main issue. It kind of covers up the pain. It renders your nervous system incapable of registering the pain. Whatever the problem is, it's still there. The aspirin does not really cure the headache. The medication that you take for your tooth, if they give you an injection, that's just a temporary fix. The problem is still there. But God in his divine wisdom has so structured our lives and created us that we experience pain as a warning. A lot of folks are alive today because of pain. If it were not for pain, they would be gone. Some people have appendicitis. They experience that serious pain that means something is seriously wrong. And I've had friends who've been rushed to the emergency room, and they've immediately admitted them to the hospital and taken them to OR and have removed their appendix because it was inflamed or because it had ruptured. And it would have led eventually, if they hadn't gotten some medical attention, to their death. Pain saved their lives. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, there are a lot of folks who claim they don't have time for the pain, but Paul indicates in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he has time for the pain. Notice, starting with verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul indicates he had time for the pain. He says in verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So this pain that God allowed to afflict Paul was designed to help keep Paul humble, lest I should be exalted above measure. And the pain was discomforting and disturbing. That's why Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." But notice verse number 9, "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So we should have time for the pain, because pain, for one thing, can help us recognize more fully our dependence on and our need for God. And experiencing pain can be utilized to strengthen us spiritually. We can be made strong by virtue of the various pains that we experience in life. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, Paul experienced all kinds of suffering as an apostle of the Lord. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul vindicating his apostleship. Look at verse number 23. Paul talking about others who claim to be above him. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." That's verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He experienced not only physical pain by virtue of all that he went through, but he experienced emotional pain as well. And he was glad to suffer for the cause of Christ, because indeed we can conclude that Paul had time for the pain. And pain in Paul's life served as a blessing. You know, one of the things that we can gain from pain is a heightened desire to go home to be with God. Pain helps keep us from becoming inordinately attached to this old world. You know, John tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, these are of the world and not of the Father. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the Lord abides forever." So when we experience sickness, when we experience suffering, when we experience pain, it can keep us from becoming too attached to this old temporal world. Indeed, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Pain can draw us closer to God. Pain can help us depend more fully upon God. Pain can serve to correct us as well as protect us. And by virtue of recognizing those realities, I want to affirm again that I have time for the pain. Paul had time for it. Job had time for the pain. Isn't that wonderful? I just admire Job, a man, an old patriarch, standing in the darkness and calling for the light, unable to peer behind the scene, as we are privileged to do. And yet, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job acknowledged the ever-present pain that was associated with life. And the affirmation is made, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You can't live in this life without experiencing some pain. You can't live in this life pain-free. Not only physical pain, but also emotional pain. Many people experience ongoing emotional turmoil and pain. It pains us when our children rebel and turn away from the Lord. That's painful. It pains us when we lose valuable things in life, when we lose jobs. That's emotionally painful. When we lose our health, that's emotionally painful. When we lose loved ones, that's emotionally painful. And we have to deal with the pain. When you have a heartache, there is something that you can do. The Bible says, casting all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. Jesus is the remedy for our pains, our emotional and spiritual pains. And he still says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the spiritual and permanent analgesic agent who can rid us of our emotional pain. Jesus can do that because Jesus experienced whatever we experience. As a matter of fact, he experiences it to a much higher degree. When we describe the pain of Christ experienced on the cross, a new word was invented called excruciating. That's the kind of pain that is associated with crucifixion. I have time for the pain in life because I recognize that Jesus had time for the pain. Jesus deliberately subjected himself to inexpressible pain and agony when he experienced what we call his passion, culminating in his death on the cross. So Jesus had time for the pain. When we look back at the prophet Isaiah, some 750 years before the advent of Christ in the world, placed his eye to the telescope of time and peered down through the vistas of the ages and began a prophetic message in the interrogative. Isaiah 53, starting with verse number 1, he asked, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He has been afflicted. By his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. This is dramatic illustration of the fact that Jesus had time for the pain. And Jesus had time for the pain because he was committed to providing and making available salvation for each and every one of us. Jesus suffered because of you. Jesus suffered because of me. Jesus experienced the pain he experienced because of our sins. He had to die if he was to secure our salvation. So you understand that Jesus had time for the pain. And when we experience various pains in this life, we need to remember what Jesus did for us. Though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. As I mentioned in class this morning, the late Brother Simmons used to always say, he paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And there was no possibility of him paying that debt without him experiencing the pain that led up to and culminated with his crucifixion on the cross. You know, we often, because of the trials and tribulations of life, because of the difficulties in life that we experience, oftentimes we have that longing to go home and be with God. We have that longing to make our transition from this low land of sorrow, pain, and suffering, that we might go home and be with God. And I want you to know, the Bible says when we get to heaven, see, that's one thing that we can be thankful for. When we get to heaven, you don't have to worry about pain anymore. There'll be no pain in that wonderful climb. Revelation 21 and verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former thing. Don't you look forward to going to that land where there will be no more pain? Don't have to worry about no headaches. Don't have to worry about no backaches. Don't have to worry about any hip aches. You don't have to worry about any kind of aches and pains at all. Because in that wonderful land, there will be no more pain. I was going in Walmart last night, and a kind of elderly gentleman got out of his truck, and I saw him walking along, headed into the store, and we spoke to each other, And I could see he wasn't a real old man, but I could see there was a slight limp evident as he walked. And I said, "How you doing, sir?" He said, "I'm doing fine." Yeah, he said, "I'm doing fine." Yeah, he said, "As we get older, some things start happening to us." He said, "But I'm doing fine. And what I'm experiencing now, the aches and pains I have now, I'm thankful for them because it makes me recognize I'm still alive and God is still good to me." So that old man had time for the pain. Now, young folks, I know y'all probably don't feel many aches and pains, and you feel great. You feel wonderful. You don't have any pains in your joints, in your knees, and in your back, and in your hips. You probably don't have a headache. For a lot of years, I didn't know what a headache felt like. I heard people saying, "Man, this headache is killing me." And I couldn't identify with that. Of course, I don't have headaches very frequently now, but I have enough other aches to make up for the shortage of headaches. Just keep living. You'll experience those headaches, those back aches, those knee aches, and headaches and various other aches. But recognize that the various aches and pains in life can be a blessing. If you're here and you recognize the blessings that are available to you because Jesus had time for the pain, and you want to respond to what Jesus did for you on the cross, I hope you'll do it today. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb and arose triumphantly from the grave because he had time for us to do what was necessary to secure our salvation. But Jesus' death on the cross is completely worthless insofar as you personally are concerned if you don't respond to this great sacrifice he made because he loved you so in submission and obedience. It won't do you any good at all. As far as you are concerned, Jesus may as well have not come to the earth and have not died on the cross if you're not going to accept the sacrifice that he made on your behalf. Brother Jones, I want to accept it. I'm thankful for what he did for me. I want to be saved. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to become a part of the church. I want to eventually go to heaven where there'll be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more sickness, no more dying. I want to go there. This is where it starts. You have to believe that good news of the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you can arise from the watery grave a brand new creation, ready to live a brand new life. Amen. If you're here and you're already a Christian but have fallen by the wayside, we'd like to encourage you to take the proper corrective measures to bring your life back into harmony with the will of God through repentance, confession, and prayer. And the Lord will be delighted to restore you. If you're here and maybe you're experiencing the pains associated with sickness, maybe you are experiencing some heartaches, emotional pain, the Lord is willing to address whatever issues you might be faced with. And if you want to make a request of your brothers and sisters to pray on your behalf, this is a good time to make that known. If you need to be restored, why not be restored today? Don't allow Jesus' pain to have been in vain. Let us together stand.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, there is power.